the correct witnesses and cause risk to recall. Yes, you're right, that is the we've conferred here, and we're thinking that maybe if you wish to cross Mr. Lundstrom, and it might be better to do that before.
Okay.
Hold
tight.
Hold, because you're going to do a cross. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay. Mr. Lundstrom, I'll give you, I'll show you a copy of what is in the procurement record filed by GPA. Do you have a copy of that?
Your Honor, as specified in this statute, I have the right not to be cross-examined. It is in the hearing procedures. However, I don't have anything to hide. I will submit to that. If that you would like to cross-examine me, then okay. But I just want to know, it's my right.
Well,
not to be cross-examined.
As near as I can tell, any witness that testifies has.
But I'm not invoking on that. Go ahead, Mr. Botha. You can.
Okay. But
procedurally,
once he testifies, he's subject to being asked questions about the scope of this. Yes. The basic rule is that. The basic rule is that once you have submitted testimony, you are susceptible to questions by the opposite counsel within the narrow scope of your testimony, and that I'm sure Mr. Botha will stay within those bounds. He will simply ask you, and he will only be allowed to ask you questions that deal with your testimony itself, not beyond.
Well, I just want to release your honor that hearing shall be as informal as may be reasonable and appropriate under the circumstances and shall not be bound by statutory rules or evidence or by technical or formal rules or procedure.
Yes, sir, but to have basic fairness, basic due process, he must be allowed to ask you a question about what you just said. And just as you can with him, you'll be able to do the same thing with this witness.
Well, your honor, the federal and public will supersede whatever is...
Right. This is a federal law, sir. Yeah. It's in the Constitution.
And, but just like what I said, I don't have anything to hide. But
yes, sir.
I just want to know that I choose not to be cross-examined. He might not do so.
But you can refuse to.
Yeah, just the same way.
Yes, you can refuse.
Okay.
Mr. Lundstrom, I'll show you the GPA procurement record, and this one I number sequentially, so you did receive a copy of this one. That's tab 8, page 153. If you could take a look at that one. And this is what was filed by GPA. Is that the letter that you referred to from Mr. Tom Borja at the time, the procurement manager that... is that the letter you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, and so actually GPA did file that letter. Perhaps you didn't see it or something, but that is the letter dated. There's a 153 at the bottom, and it's letter dated October 10th, 2002 from Tom Borja, then as the manager of supply.
Mr. Botha, with due respect, this is the letter that I'm referring to. I have the copy.
Okay.
Well, what I'm specifying is that my letter to Tom Borja is missing.
Okay.
Because that I'm asking for extension. This is he acknowledged that he received my letter of request for delivery extension. No, if you read the letter. Yeah.
Okay, but this is the letter from Tom Bora, right?
Yes, Mr. Bora.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Now, on the various requests for, I guess we can take a look at the one that, and I think you agree that all of these letters are pretty much the same, the requests for quotes and everything. There's no dispute that on the request for quotes we do indicate that delivery is no later than the date indicated above. That's page 28, and all late deliveries are subject to the liquidated damages clause. You would agree that's true, right?
I agree, Mr. Bota.
So, I mean, there's nothing that you're just disputing as to how that clause is applied, but I mean, it is on the contract that's been signed by you and everybody else as far as the quotes and everything, right?
No, Mr. Bota, let me elaborate.
Okay.
This contract is governed by the procurement law, Your Honor. And even though there's a 30 days delivery specified in the contract, I'm still protected by the law when I invoke those terms and conditions, those statutes and provisions that govern the contract, Your Honor. That's why his examination is irrelevant, Your Honor.
Okay, but you would agree that on the request for quotes that there's a delivery date for GPA and a clause that provides for liquidated damages if it's delayed, right?
Yes, but the same answer, Your Honor. It's just immature to keep on repeating it because, just like what I said, there is a delivery extension as long as it is invoked. And I'm invoking on that delivery extension. I'm requesting a delivery extension. And it falls under the excuses and terms and conditions.
Okay, so it's in there, you're just saying, you don't dispute that you've received any of these notices of default. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Bota.
And there's really no dispute as to how that, in fact, I mean, I guess there's a check that shows the deduction for liquidated damages, so, I mean, I think that's, you're not disputing that those were put in and calculated, right?
No, Mr. Bota.
Okay. And that, I guess, you had submitted on one bid. I think that was the one back in 2002. That was the cashier's check that you had submitted. Is that correct?
Yes, but that's not the only one.
Okay, but as of the nine here today, there's only one cashier check that was put in, right?
Yes, Mr. Bota.
Okay, and in fact, I think GPA had issued a check back, and so that's not part of your claim. I mean, in other words, you did receive the amount back.
Yeah.
I think that was something like $2,000 or $3,000 in the cashier's check.
I think 4,000, Mr. Bota, but this
4,002 something.
Yeah, it's just a procurement law, and the duty of the public auditor's office to promote integrity, and the DPA needs to adhere with the terms and condition and status, you know, governing the contract. I have to disclose that. Because it would help GPA, and it would be smooth sailing for the department, so that there won't be any dispute in the future administration of contract. I'm just doing them, just helping them. I'm not really trying to hurt GPA. And I'm not even putting interest on my protest. It's just I'm just trying to get my money. They're illegally deducted. That's all. And then.
I don't have any further questions. We can go on this thing.
Mr. Bota, I have a question. Referring to that page 153 on that letter of October 10th, 2002, says the reason for the delay is not fully justified. Is Mr. Borja one of your witnesses?
No, he is not.
Okay, is Mr. Borja still with you?
Not in the capacity of
It would appear, just from the reading, that Mr. Longsana did ask for a delay, but GPA has denied it. It's not fully justified. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. What would be the reason why GPA would have denied his extension?
Well,
you know, this is some time ago, but
right.
It's one of the things.
I mean, it appears on some of these cases, and perhaps Ms. Pangolin can speak to the general policy. I'm not sure she certainly wasn't the manager as of, you know, this 2002, or actually the Liberty date was back in 2001. Let's see if there is any.
The procurement record does not show his letter requesting for the extension. It just acknowledges it by implication.
Right.
Okay. There's nothing in the procurement record that shows his request for an extension. It just says the reason for the delay is not fully justified. And that's the thing that I found, that your procurement record did not have any of his things in there, only the acknowledgement that you are denied an extension.
Well, I'm not actually sure that his letter is contained within his.
I'm just referring now to your specific item on page
153.
Right. We did not see his letter in here, or email, or whatever evidence he may have. Other than your own acknowledgement that it is not justified.
Is the vendor's copy just shows 4 weeks delivery. I don't see one.
You don't know the reason for the denial? I mean, the record does not seem to have documentation as to the rationale, the reasonableness as to your denial. There's nothing in the record here to support why GPA denied the extension.
I'm not sure also that I don't see a letter regarding that. All I see in connection with that is an invoice from GPE, and the invoice was dated 1/18/2002. And that appears to be the invoice upon delivery received by GPA, and there doesn't appear to be anything associated with that invoice indicating the reason for the approximately, I would say, I mean, month and a half, or, you know, 7 week delay.
Okay. All right,
I mean,
thank you.
It doesn't appear to be anything on either side other than the delivery invoice that indicates that.
Okay.
We need to move on with the...
All right. Okay, that's fine.
The only thing I would note is it was 4 weeks delivering, and it actually took 11 weeks to deliver. And that's just what's on the record.
Okay. the rationale for the delivery, for denying the extension is not...
Well, that's correct, and nor is there any indication from the factory otherwise as to the reason for the late delay.
Okay.
I'm ready to proceed forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
State your name for the record.
Okay, Janie Tangalinen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fingland, how long have you worked for GPA?
16 years.
Okay, how long have you been in the procurement side of the house?
16 years.
How long have you worked? You've been 16 years at GPA, have all been in different...
That's
is that correct?
Yes.
When did you become the manager of procurement?
2004, I believe.
Have you had an opportunity to look at the invoices and files associated with Mr. Msongin's claim on behalf of Vaughan Pacific Enterprise?
Yes.
And... could you tell us, I guess, first of all, how does the procurement division, certainly since you've been the manager, and even before they sent you know, how do they, when you put out, first of all, I guess explain how the request for quote procedure works, since I think that is involved with all of these with the exception of one bid. How does that procedure work?
Okay, a buyer gets assigned a requisition, then they request a quote, send out a fax, or email to the various vendors, and from there we give them 3 days to respond with the specifications involved, and then we review it. If it is something different from the manufacturer stated on the specification, we do get our end users involved, and that is the requesting section, and they will review it, and if it does meet their specs or if it meets the specification requirements, then it's awarded to the overall lowest depending on the delivery time. And that's normally reflective on the request for quote.
Okay, so on the request for quotes, you're going to have 4 to 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks. What does the ARO stand for?
Out to receipt of order.
Okay, so in other words, once they receive the order, then that establishes the delivery date.
No, we normally fax it or email, and then we do have, we do not put in an actual date until the vendor acknowledges receipt of the fax order.
Now, how would that be different for the one invitation for bid that's done here?
An invitation for bid is formal, so therefore all bid submissions are submitted in a sealed envelope and is read on a specific date and time.
So, but the request for quote goes out for one specific or several specific part numbers by identified by vendor or otherwise?
That is correct.
And then you base your determination on the overall lowest bidder that falls within the requested delivery period?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Once the award is made, is there a purchase order that's issued?
Yes. Once we fax a copy of the purchase order with the vendor's acknowledgement, then we do mail out the original purchase order. And from there, we put an actual date of delivery once the vendor acknowledges.
Okay. And I guess I'll step through these. I mean, okay, if I could show you what's in tab 2, page 19, is that an example of one of the requests for quotes in the purchase order that goes along with it?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Lanzana, are you able to follow where they are now?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, he got a whole set too. Anyways, I did number them sequentially, because sometimes we refer to exhibits, then you got to, I mean, this one is actually numbered 1 through, I think, 162 or 163.
Yes.
So, and
just for the record, we're referring to first of all, 13394.
Yes. Okay.
13394. And page 19 of your numbering.
Right. And this is, I believe, the most recent one that was involved. And on that, I guess it has a time for delivery, April 13th, 2009?
Yes.
Okay, and that was calculated, I guess, backwards from the 8 to 10 weeks ARO after receipt of order.
That's correct. We took the latest date, which is 10 weeks.
Okay. So in other words, the vendor gets it was 6 to 8 weeks or 8 to 10 weeks, the vendor gets the...
We take the later date.
Okay. And on that, it, I guess, indicates the price, the delivery date, and the whatever particular model is required under that request for quotes.
Yes.
And then if we turn to page 21, that would be the Guam Pacific Enterprise invoice number, page 21.
Oh.
That would be the Guam Pacific Enterprises invoice related to that purchase order and purchase order 13394, indicating that it was actually received on May 29th, 2009.
Yes.
Okay, and so that would be approximately 6 weeks after the requested delivery date.
That's correct.
Now, if we look at page 22, is that the notice of default that was sent to Mr. Linzongen regarding the late delivery for this particular purchase order, 13394?
Yes.
Okay. And what does it indicate as far as an opportunity before liquidated damages would be assessed? How long does he have to either deliver it or get a delivery extension?
We inform him that he has 10 days to cure for the purchase order reflected above, which is OP number 13394.
Okay, and then if you look at page 24, which appears to be dated January 15th, 2009, that indicates that they can deliver in 6 to 8 weeks the product. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Now, as far as What is your understanding of how the liquidated damages for vendors should work? Not just Guam Pacific Enterprises, but any vendor that does business with the GPA.
Now, understanding of liquidated damages, if they do not cure within the 10 days issued, we give them 10 days to cure after the required delivery date. So if, again, his purchase order was due on the 13th, on the 14th, we issue a notice of default, issuing them a 10-day cure notice. If not, and it's not cured within 10 days, and it's received after the 10th day, then the assessment will be from commencing of the 14th, the day after the expected required delivery date.
Okay, and there is a section in the procurement regulations that allow you for liquidated damages, and to your belief, have those been calculated correctly at the, I guess, 1/4 or 1% of the outstanding order amount per calendar day from the date set for cure?
Yes. On the purchase order also, it also reflects note to vendor, and it does indicate the liquidated damage clause in the section of 6-101.09.1.
Then you have no reason to believe that your understanding those were done correctly as near as you can tell as far as assessing the liquidated damages?
Yes.
If we take a look at, I guess, the page 35 regarding purchase order 12306. And that I guess, is in response to a request, I guess, for reconsideration of liquidated damages. Is that not correct?
Correct.
I'm sorry, that's page 35, which would be under tab 4.
Okay.
And that was regarding purchase order 12306. Okay, and that was, I guess, in response to page 38 and 39, which was Mr. Lim Songin's letters to GPA regarding liquidated damages.
That's correct.
Okay, and page 42 is the notice of default that went out with regard to the purchase order 12306.
Yes.
Okay, and there, I mean, that just indicates that it was received by, I guess, one of the employees of Mr. Zongin at Guam Pacific Enterprise.
Yes.
And so, in that, the delivery date was February 25th, and obviously, you sent it out the day after that, February 26th.
That's correct.
And the purchase order on page 48, 12306, that's the one that indicates the delivery date of February 25th, 2008.
That's correct.
So the record, the attorney for GPA is being allowed to leave the witness for the purpose of getting everything on the record as quickly as possible.
Okay. I'm perfectly happy to have the witness go through each one. I'm just trying to expedite.
The purpose of expedition.
And
clarify for the record why we're doing it this
morning. Right. And I don't think there's any dispute because, for the most part, Guam Pacific Enterprises, their things do show the, I mean, they may not show all the documents, I mean, but certainly show the ones that went back and forth for that. With regard to that purchase order, was there any explanation received from Guam Pacific Enterprises as to the reason for delay on that purchase order?
Looking at this now.
Okay, if we take a look at page 59, that would be purchase order 12355. What was the delivery date specified for that purchase order?
030608, that's March 6, 2008.
Okay, and if you look at page 58, when does it indicate that that was received?
It was received on April 2nd, 2008.
And in that case, I believe if we flip backwards to page 56, once again after the requested delivery date, you sent out a notice of default that was acknowledged by Guam Pacific Enterprises.
That's right.
Does there appear to be anything else that indicates a reason for the delay in this purchase order?
No.
And if we look at tab 6, page 76, is that purchase order 12140?
Yes.
And the required delivery date on that was, what was the delivery date on that?
January 18, 2008.
Excuse me, what was the purchase order number? 12140.
Okay. And what page?
That would be 76.
Okay.
And on there is a stamp. I assume that means the delivery date. And what was the delivery date for that particular?
Delivery was made on February
13th, 2008. Okay. And If we turn to page 72, is that the notice of default that was sent out in this matter?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
Can I have a copy of the notice of default? Because I have to verify if it was acknowledged by my worker.
Would counsel for appellee give a copy?
Well, let me. I can do him one better. Ask him to turn to page 71. I don't think he brought his. I gave him one of these, but if he didn't bring it, I'll be happy to provide my extra copy.
You can have a copy of that to provide.
Okay. I got it, Your Honor.
Okay.
Just I'm not explaining what it was. Thank you, Jim.
60-01-12140.
Okay. Anytime you're not able to follow which document is referring to, Mr. Lansana, just speak up and we'll make sure you see it.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's on page 71 that did acknowledge receipt of that. Yeah, I don't think he brought his copy of that, but... So that was required on the 18th and delivered on February 13th. Is there anything that you can find with regard to a reason for delay on, or a request for delay on those?
No.
Turn to tab 7, page 93. That would be purchase order 32100. I'm sorry, purchase order 12132. What is the delivery date for that?
Delivery date is January 16, 2008.
And on the, I guess, that same page 93, I guess actual delivery was made. What was the date of actual delivery on that?
To complete the order was May 7, 2008.
Okay. And then if we flip backwards to page 89, is that the notice of default that was issued April 1st?
That is correct.
Okay, and that appears to be acknowledged by someone from Guam Pacific Enterprises.
That is correct.
Okay, and if you flip to page 98, what is that?
An amendment to a purchase order.
Okay. And is that one that amended the delivery date?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's page 98. And that letter indicated that there was an extension granted. And what appeared to be the basis for that?
Was necessary due to factory vendor change on one of the components.
Okay, and so that was basically an extension of approximately 10 weeks, is that not correct?
That's right.
So, despite that extension, it was actually delivered on, I think, page 93 in case of delivery date.
Delivered on May 7, 2008.
So, there was a delivery extension from January 16th to March 31st. And then actual delivery was May 7th.
That's correct.
Okay, 2000. Other than the extension that was granted, is there anything else to suggest the additional delay?
That's it.
Okay, and if you turn to page 101, what is that?
It's notifying Mr. Langsonen, GPE, that we will grant the extension of delivery from January 16th to March 31st, 2008.
And is there a reference in that to liquidated damages?
It informs him that we delivery extension requests are closely scrutinized.
Okay. In terms of granting or not granting an extension, what do you believe is the reasons what GPA should look at in determining whether it's appropriate to, in this case, the purchase order 12132, grant an extension or to not grant an extension?
Well, looking at the request, because of the long delivery time of 6 to 7 weeks, and looking at the other side of it, which is cancel and resubmit, that would take another, again, additional week. So we went ahead and extended his request. And that was also based on our stock level of inventory, which we review on a daily basis. And again, he does indicate on his letter, he's requesting to cancel, and we have to take that into consideration, cancel or granting the extension, so we granted him the extension.
You're returning now to purchase order 12132?
That's correct.
And on those other ones that I think we've kind of stepped through most of them so far, if there's no letter justifying the delay, what do you believe as manager is an appropriate response? Okay, in other words, if there's no justification or simply no response to the notice of default, what do you believe is the appropriate response and request for either to not put in liquidated damages or just a delay that's not supported by any documentation?
If it's not supported by any supporting documentation on any extension request, then therefore an assessment of LD will be assessed upon delivery.
If I could have you take a look at the, this is the excuse for non-performance or delayed performance. And I'm going to have a copy for everybody. Is those the considerations that you look at in determining whether it's appropriate to grant a delay or late delivery?
Mr. Lansong, do you have a copy of this, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes.
Okay. And in other words, in dealing with either Guam Pacific Enterprise or any other vendor, it's your response to examine the facts that are related to the, you know, request for delay.
That's correct.
Okay. And those would include, inability of the vendor to deliver, due to, I mean, storms, you know, whatever, something considerable that, or inability to produce or whatever. And so that's why if there is a delay, you would normally require a letter from the manufacturer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
In looking through the I guess the invoices or whatever, to your knowledge, these contain, you know, the documents that were in the file with the GPA regarding these invoices, correct?
That's correct.
Now, in 2002, Mr. Borja was the manager, is that not correct?
That's correct.
And if you turn to page 153, that's the letter that was sent out from the then manager, Mr. Borja. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Now, and this particular one was the one invitation for bid. Take a look at page 147. Those would be the general documents for the bid proposal.
This is the small purchase. No. This is
okay.
I believe
155. Okay, 155 is the small purchase. So the bid is, and the bid before that on page 147 is regarding a different.
Page 124.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, number 9175.
Oh, different PO. Okay, so this one, the PO 5213 is actually a small purchase order.
That's correct.
Point of clarification. Small purchase order,
that's $21,000. That's considered small purchase? I thought it was 15.
No, it's
less than 15. Are we talking 5213? This is 5215 by GCA, so I believe.
5215?
Yes, by GCA, the authority. So you're using 5215 by GCA? I believe this was a. On emergency procurement?
5215
or 5213? No, PO number is 5213. The authority code is 5215.5GCA. That's the authority on the left side, below vendor.
What page
is 155.
155. Okay. What did you say your authority?
The authority code used there was 5215.5GCA.
I'm sorry, where is that listed on the...
Well, it's on the left side under the word, the vertical word, vendor.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And what is that authority?
Will you best emergency procurement, ma'am?
So that would explain why the total was more than 15,000.
That's right.
What was the emergency? other than the signing?
I'm not too sure, ma'am. I don't have the documents, the complete documents in front of me.
How often do you cite emergencies?
It's normally during typhoons, once the governor declares it, as well as if the general manager of the Guam Power Authority requests for an emergency procurement to his governor's office. But it hasn't been since 2005-2004 in requesting any emergency procurement.
So you were in procurement, but you were not head of the procurement, though.
That's correct.
You don't know the nature of the emergency. I know you should do the citation, but when this was documented, then wouldn't you want to cite the nature? I mean, as a vendor, I may not know that 5215 is an emergency.
I think we've, well, perhaps since Ms. Pangolin and I have come over, I think we don't do emergency procurements anymore, so I'm not quite sure what was done in the past, but
okay.
Perhaps it was a storm that's, I think, it could have been an oncoming storm. I'm trying to think back whether that was around Typhoon Pongsonga, because it's been so long since we had one.
Yes,
but it could have been.
The wall was in 2002, December. It was in December, then. 8th, I was on my list. Okay, this was not before the storm. You would not have known a storm was coming in December of 2001.
I'm not
quite certain.
Honor, this book's pressure, that purchase order doesn't fall under request for bid. It's invitation for bid. It's not, because I remember that purchase order. But we have to undergo the bidding requirement. To provide a bid bond.
Yes. Is 5215 also an emergency?
Well.
What did you say?
5213 actually would fall under the request for quotes, because that is under 15,000. So.
How about 5213 when it's 21,000? Isn't it 15,000? Mm. Your PO was 21,000, so how could that have fallen?
Well, his invoice is 12,926 on page 156. So I'm not quite
the reason
sure
for that, ma'am, Your Honor, is because it was a partial delivery. Completing of 500 was requested, 200 were delivered. And on item 92, 600 was requested, ordered, and 600 was completed.
Say
that again. Okay. The purchase order, the reason why their invoice was 12,926,
mm-hmm.
was because on line item one, the order was for 500.
Mm-hmm.
200 each was delivered.
Right.
And then item number two, 600, was also received at the same time.
But is the purchase order, your purchase order, 5213, that's my question, since it refers on his invoice, PO 5213.
Right, 5213.
And your PO is for 21,000.
That's correct. His invoice is for the actual materials delivered. So
my question to you, though, is small purchases below 15,000, correct?
That is
correct. Then how would you issue a PO greater than 15,000 without going through a bid?
I don't have that file in front of me, the completed file. If I have a complete file, I'll be able to answer that now.
Mr. Boca, weren't you supposed to provide the complete file?
I believe that I had all the documents related to his, the invoices and all.
He's citing on his invoice 5213 as the authorization, and yet, Ms. Pangolin, and you're saying the file is incomplete.
If it's an emergency, Your Honor, then I would insert, normally on our purchase, or I can't answer to this because this is prior, ma'am, Your Honor, but normally it'll cite what emergency it's for. This one doesn't state it, so I'm not too sure. I'm not going to want to answer that.
My question to you, Mr. Bosa, is how come the file, the record is not complete?
I'm not aware. Perhaps I had the wrong PO number that was given for that.
No, it's on his invoice on your page 156, 5213, and he set aside it earlier on page 155, 5213.
5213 is on...
Well...
What?
I don't know where it... I can't read from... okay. I cannot read from... Oh, up above, 5213, okay, and then it looks like the stamp says emergency up above.
So it was an emergency procurement now. But it was an emergency procurement.
Yeah. But by snapping it, just saying because it's emergency doesn't make it so. Was there a where is the I thought the governor has to declare it as an emergency in order for you to go into emergency.
There has to be
an official declaration or authority by the governor for you to. That's my. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So. Mr. Bosa, where is the governor's executive order saying that there was an emergency? The merely stamping it does not make it an emergency unless it's accompanied by the governor's declaration. Oh, okay. Thank you. Ms. Robin just pointed out, for inventory, okay, is that the reason for the emergency, for inventory?
I'm not too sure. I can't answer that, Your Honor.
The PO
no.
For inventory.
No, that is identifying for what division or section the order is for. So on our purchase order, we normally have it labeled. Back then, in 2004, so that's saying that this order is for inventory.
So, if it's for inventory, is that considered an emergency?
No.
It's not considered an emergency.
No, ma'am.
It's for inventory.
That's correct.
Okay.
I believe was it Chatham was Chatham on that year?
I don't know.
June, July. I can call, ma'am, and I can have them open the file and take a look at it again and fax it down if possible. But I don't want to answer.
Sure.
I know the authority cites an emergency procurement.
Yes.
So therefore, there's no
one has to be accompanied by
that is correct. Yes. And we will not proceed with any purchasing unless it's declared by the governor.
Well, maybe when we excuse you, you can ask them to cite the basis for the emergency, because as I heard you say, for inventory, it would not be considered for an emergency.
That's correct.
And I guess my question is 5215 also an emergency, because that was not a fix. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. 5215. Okay, I was just told that Chatham occurred June, July of 2002. So then this is not Chatham. I was just told by my staff.
I'm not too sure, Your Honor, but I would like to open the file and then I can give you a definite answer.
Okay. We'll allow you some time to do that. For 10 to
10. I'm sorry, what can you give the PO number site?
I'm sorry. 5-2.
5-2-1-3, the 10-1-1.
Exhibit I on Mr.
Thank you.
5215.
It's way back, Graham is in, is on tab number 16, or his exhibit I. Anyway, we've established that it also says emergency. Okay, all right.
That was a quote, though, right?
That's emergency.
But it's an emergency quote. Okay, all right.
Okay, so one was a quote, one.
The numbers would make sense. The 5213 was an emergency, then 5215 is an emergency. Okay, I just wanted to clarify if that was also an emergency. I'm just making my notes here. I'm not sure where it is on your number of exhibits, but on his, it's his exhibit I. Sorry for the interruption. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, I think I want to start with this one. That's exhibit I, 5215, and that's the one where you cited the
emergency.
Columbia cited as the emergency stamp for that.
That's right.
And that is for?
That's in one of them.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you got the number 5215.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.